Important dates in Christian history. 863 AD. Cyril and Methodius, Greek brothers, evangelize the Serbs. Cyril develops the Cyrillic alphabet, which remains the basis for the Slavonic used in the liturgy of the Russian Church. Even the alphabet can be a reminder of God's work in the world. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, Jimmy.
Yes?
Want to know what song this is?
What?
It's a song of me resisting temptation.
Oh.
But I think I'm done resisting. This is Wretched Radio. I hold in my never-before nicotine-stained fingers a perfect example of the practicality of the Bible. If you perhaps have been wobbling a bit lately about how relevant the scriptures are, does it really apply to every crevice of my life? The answer is a definitive, yeah, it most certainly is. This was an email that I received, and I would challenge you. I challenge you to resist the temptation of not citing 1 Peter chapter 2, because that's what we're preaching on at Alpharetta Bible Church, and I've been kind of overdoing it a little bit. But you wouldn't be able to resist the temptation either. Why? Because this is a fellow who's saying, it's tough at work. I'm not being treated very well. He's being robbed of joy. It's not fun to go to work. How does Peter advise a person like this to respond to a hostile work environment? And it is not the way that I would have advised. I know what my response is to ill treatment. It's not what Peter suggests. No, he doesn't suggest. He actually commands it. My American-like response is, put him up. Come on, put him up. Let's go to the mattresses on this one. You're not going to abuse me. I'm not going to suffer underneath your hand. And Peter says something that is counter to my flesh. And perhaps on the surface, it looks like, oh, it's kind of a bummer. I don't like Peter's advice very much because it's going to make me unhappy. It is just the opposite. When you and I respond to abuse, mistreatment, to persecution, and even harsh suffering the way that Peter commands, oh, it doesn't rob us of joy. It produces peace. And it does produce a vast amount of joy because we are doing something transcendent. Now, caveat is necessary. This is not to suggest that you can't leave your job and find something better. That's not to suggest that. You can do that based on wisdom. I think Calvin said that. You should stay. The general principle is stay where you are because that's to what you have been called. You have been placed there by God. But with wisdom, of course, you can better your circumstances. But until those circumstances are improved, or if you commit to just staying there, even though it isn't the environment that you prefer, you can still thrive. Not just survive, you can thrive in that environment. How do you do that? Well, let's tackle this letter, and we will let 1 Peter help us to respond to a workplace environment that just isn't fun. Jimmy, I know you can't relate to that because nothing but yucks around here.
That's exactly right.
My boss, writes this individual, who's the owner of the company, frequently uses me as the butt of the joke. He critiques me in front of coworkers and he's insulted me in front of clients. Okay. that's not fun, is it? These comments aren't just about work. They're personal. He's made public remarks about my weight, called me names, and other things that it got cut off here, so I can't even tell you what it is, but it seems even worse than that. Because of his leadership style, this behavior is starting to be mirrored by others in the office. Oh, cool. I've spoken to my direct manager, which resulted in a company-wide email about cautious speech, but the behavior hasn't stopped. When I show that I'm hurt, I'm told I'm thin-skinned or sensitive. Other coworkers have even approached me privately to say they feel bad about how I'm being treated. Now, he has a series of questions. If you're in a situation like that, does that mean that you just, I'm just going to bite my lip and not deal with it? No, you can do that. We see, I think, a demonstration, an example from Paul that you can call on your rights. you can point out things that are illegal. It doesn't mean that you have to zip your lip. It doesn't mean that you can't say anything or utilize any of the avenues that are available to you to improve the way that you're being treated. So please feel free to point out, potentially even to the boss, sir, I'm concerned that this is a, use this term, hostile work environment. That's legalese for you're breaking the law. And that if he's aware of how an organization should be run, he should pick up on that. And so, sir, I would ask you, please, could you lead the way in making this a place where I do not feel that hostility? Nothing wrong with doing that. In the meantime, Peter's advice, it is extraordinary. Let's get to the question, shall we? How should a Christian approach a boss who's also the business owner when the behavior is this personal and public? Well, the aforementioned hostile work environment, that is one way that you can do it. Another way that you can do it is to simply ask him again and tell him how it's causing you to not be as productive as you want to be. You can plead with your employer. We see Paul do that. He pleaded. He stated his case. He called on his rights. You can do all of those things. Number two, at what point does a difficult workplace become a situation where the wise choice is to seek new employment? You do that with wisdom. You get the counsel of others, but simultaneously, you do need to remember you're there right now. Doesn't mean you can't leave, but you're there right now because that's where God wants you. Otherwise, you wouldn't be there because he's sovereign. And if he wanted you somewhere else, you wouldn't be in the place you are. You'd be there. But he does have you there because that is to what you are called. That is what Peter says. This is what will help you to endure this. You are in your vocation because you have been called to this. 1 Peter 2:21. To this you have been called. And then he launches into one who is called to that type of submission and suffering, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, who was woefully mistreated, who didn't open up his mouth. He didn't retaliate. And so we have an example in Jesus. And what do we glean from this? First of all, you are where you're at because it's your calling. Second of all, you are called to suffer just like Jesus, who suffered. I think we have a propensity to somehow ignore what should be a pretty obvious truism. Our Savior suffered so that we could be saved. Now, the Master is greater than the servants. We're the servants. Why would we expect that we're going to slide through life and that we're just going to skate away from any problems or difficulties or harsh treatment? We're not. We're called to this. Now, that doesn't mean you put yourself in harm's way. It doesn't mean that you can't get out of these things. But to help you endure when there is no escape, we need to remember that we are called to this. And to help even further, Peter tells us why the Lord calls us to these positions. It's consistent in all of his admonitions that we have holy behavior. The entire book of 1 Peter is about this very singular subject, and that is God wants to use you to save sinners. God wants to use you to save your boss. God wants to use you, madam, to save your unsaved husband. God wants to use us as citizens to bring glory to himself on the day of visitation when we submit to a government, even a bad government. He has a reason for us to be there. One of the reasons would be we're called to it. Second, we are following in the footsteps of our Savior. And third, it's evangelistic. You're there because God wants you there. And now the question is, how will I respond knowing that I am here for a purpose, which is really question number three from this fellow. How do I balance the command to work under the Lord when the environment feels like it's stealing my joy and peace? I know this maybe sounds a little bit simplistic, but it should actually increase your joy and peace. because you are actually, you're not just going to work to perform your function to make whatever it is that you produce or sell whatever it is that the product is. You're there to be light. You're there to be salt, to endure just like Jesus did. Read 1 Peter 2:21 in about 4 or 5 verses, the description of what Jesus did. And when we are called to suffer like him, it is for the very same reason that he was called to submit and suffer. And that is the salvation of sinners. This, by the way, applies if you have got a husband who isn't a believer. That is Peter's very same point in the very same context. Now, it happens, unfortunately, to go into chapter 3, but it's submit, even if, especially if you will, you have an unsaved husband. Why? That he might be one without a word, but through what? Your demeanor, your behavior, and your submission. Knowing that, it doesn't mean you ever put yourself or leave yourself in harm's way, but it does mean that you can endure, knowing that God has a purpose for your persecution. He has a plan for your suffering because he has loftier goals than we do. In other words, you are called to something eternal and transcendent. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Let me ask you a question. Have you experienced any type of real change in the areas of your life that really need it the most? Or do you find yourself just getting by, just figuring out a way to manage to the next day? Look, a lot of people have gotten really good at managing their anger, managing their anxiety, managing the habits that they've formed, but management, it's not the same as transformation. That's why one of the world's leading podcasts today is Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford. Greg is a professor at the Masters University and a fellow here at Fortis Institute as well. And his whole focus is helping people experience the kind of change that only comes through the sufficient word of God. And this kind of content is only possible because of our gospel partners. If you've been blessed by our ministry, I would love to ask you to prayerfully consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. I know you have questions about that, and we have answers at fortisinstitute.org. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel. Be honest, when's the last time you shared the gospel with a stranger? Not posted something online, not liked a Christian meme, but actually opened your mouth and told someone about Jesus. If your stomach tightened just a little bit, you're not alone. Most Christians would rather do almost anything than evangelize. It's terrifying. What if they get mad? What if I say something wrong? What if they ask me a question I can't answer? Our resource, Terrified 2, it exists because Jesus gave us the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion, and he actually gave us the tools to obey it. And this resource will walk you through how to share the gospel with strangers, even family members, without needing Pepto-Bismol to get through it. You'll still be nervous, that's normal, but you'll also be equipped, and equipped beats terrified every single time. Terrified 2, it is streaming right now for free on Fortis Plus. Download the app right now on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or head to fortisplus.org. Most men don't make one big decision that takes them off course. No, it happens gradually, and eventually you look up and you realize, I've been coasting for years. Well, Dr. Adam Tyson has created Walk Like a Man. It's available now on Fortis Plus. Dr. Tyson knows that's the story for way too many guys right now. And so he gets into God's Word and he lays out what it actually looks like to walk with wisdom and live with real conviction. And the way he teaches it, you'll walk away from every episode knowing exactly what to do and why it matters. This is biblical teaching that puts solid ground under your feet and gives you a clear path forward. It's streaming right now with new episodes dropping every Monday on Fortis Plus for free. Download the Fortis Plus app right now wherever you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just go to fortisplus.org and walk like a man.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is service, the spiritual ability to meet people's physical needs. Just as Christ came not to be served, but to serve, God provides the office of deacon, those who are charged and equipped to care for the physical needs of the church.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
2, 3, 4, timing. This is Wretched Radio. Why do you wait to the break to bring up your very, very, oh, it hurts, good point?
Well, you were on a roll, Todd. I didn't want to interrupt you.
Since when? Since when? All right, you quoted John Calvin regarding work.
Yeah, well, so you were talking about the posting that he mentioned, and I preached a sermon on this a couple of months ago.
Oh, I see. Okay, hold on a second, pal. What? All the times you bust my chops because I bring up something that I preached in a sermon. Let's mark this day and let's remember it well.
Okay. All right.
All right. So you were preaching a sermon. Was it 1 Peter by any chance?
No, it wasn't. It was Genesis. But it was a sermon on work, but I used the illustration that Calvin said that our work, he described a believer's calling as a sentry post.
Yeah.
That's the language he used. He said God's assigned every man a station in life, and that station's his post. And so like a soldier doesn't abandon his post, he stays where he's been placed and doesn't leave until God moves him somewhere else.
Yeah, and with gleaned wisdom,
right,
and thinking, so you can, but in general, you are called to where you are. The encouragement is to stay where you are until there is valid and good reason to leave. Now, here's the challenge to that particular illustration, which I actually think I used a week ago in preaching about this, although I didn't cite John Calvin. Did you know what Luther said about your work?
Oh, Luther said a lot.
He said a lot. Yes, he really did. Gene Edward Beath does a pretty good job of compiling it and gleaning it down for you. But that your work is the mask of God.
The larva day.
What?
It's called the larva day, mask of God. That's the Latin word for mask of God.
Look at you.
Yeah, it was one of the most helpful things I've ever read about work.
Is that right?
Yeah.
All right, then explain it, preacher.
So he said that, and I'm paraphrasing, I'm not exactly quoting, but he said that God hides himself behind ordinary workers.
That's right.
So when you see a baker baking bread, the behind that baker is the creator faithfully providing for his creation.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And that boy, that's a game changer when it comes to work.
Uh-huh.
You are not a computer programmer. You're not a factory worker. That is not, that's just a job description, if you will, but you have something loftier. You have a vocation. Mm-hmm. You are called there by God to be the mask of God, to serve God's children. That's what you're there for. So you are serving God and you are loving your neighbor. That is a thought. If you can get that embedded into your brain, I'm telling you, that helps you to get out of work out of bed on Monday morning.
Yeah, he said what I read. He said, "Think about the Lord's prayer. Give us this day our daily bread." How does God answer that prayer?
Through people.
He answers it through the farmer who planted the grain, the truck driver who hauled it, and the baker who turned it into bread, and the employer who gave you a paycheck to buy it.
Now, back to our military illustration. Here's where I think that illustration needs some additional comments and consideration. Because you might be a soldier who isn't assigned to a very prominent task, or it's a downright menial task. But let's just bore into this military illustration for a moment. Consider a soldier who is in the barracks right now, sweeping the floors. Is he not participating in the military effort? Of course he is. You'd go, well, yeah, he is. I mean, so it's got to be done so that the other soldiers can. In other words, you don't have to be a general. You don't have to necessarily be on the front line. Whatever it is that you are doing, it is a contribution to God's effort to save sinners. It doesn't look like it. It maybe doesn't feel like it. It is not as fulfilling as I'd like it to be. And I understand that. It doesn't mean you can't pursue something that makes you feel a little bit more satisfied. But you can be satisfied knowing that your work, even though boring and dull to you, is being done for the Lord, loving neighbor, by serving the Lord. That's I think, Ephesians 6. You do your work as unto the Lord. You're not serving men. You are serving God. You are laboring unto Christ. And so if you're charged with sweeping the barracks, you can find contentment in that. Yeah, it might be dull. Might not be your favorite thing. But you can know that it is well-pleasing to the Lord, especially when you are suffering in that situation. You've got a commander, a sergeant. What? I'm not sure which branch of the military I'm in right now in my mind, but barking at you, yelling at you, it doesn't have to debilitate you and demoralize you. You can bear up underneath that. Why? Because you're not doing it for him. You're doing it for the Lord, and you know that you are participating in bigger things than what meets the eye. And that is what we need to remember with everything that we do. You are a priest. In God's eyes, you are a royal priest. You are a holy priest. And you have been called out, set aside to do everything unto him. And that means everything you do is being done as a priest. Typically, where we kind of find ourselves feeling not very satisfied or connected to our faith is simply because we forget that. You forget that. You are doing it. You are connected to your faith because your faith, it is the impetus of everything that you do. And everything that you do, even when you're not aware of it, is for the Lord Jesus Christ. You just need to remember that. You just need to be mindful of that. And that turns the mundane into the ethereal. It's like, okay, I can cope with this because I've actually been charged to be here. Now, maybe this illustration will help. Let's just imagine for a moment that all of the people, this is going to sound kind of Mormon, but all of the people who are going to be on the planet are appearing before God, just as he's going to create the world. Okay, this is fanciful, obviously. And the Lord is assigning duties, and he pulls you out of the crowd and says, your assignment is, fill in the blank. Would you kick and scream? I doubt it. You'd be like, all right, Lord, that's where you got it. Let's go, Team God. You would be all over that because you knew that it was an assignment from him. Well, you can be assured, as silly as that illustration is, that's precisely what has happened. You are there because he has placed you there. Oh, this expands beyond that. How's about you look the way you look because that's the way God wants you to look for his purposes? How do you like them apples? Perhaps you don't like the shape of your nose, your body weight index, whatever it is that bugs you about your body. Doesn't bug God. Doesn't bug him at all. That's exactly the way I want you because I have purposes for your body. I want it to be that way because it's going to be for your good also. How's about what family you're born into? Oh, those siblings, they can drive me crazy. He has you there because he wants you there because he's assigned you there. He has called you to this you were called. This applies to every realm of your life. Jimmy, I just wish somebody'd write a book about this that's coming out in September called Go Serve Your King.
I wish they would too.
Yeah, which you can probably, I don't think you can pre-order it. I don't know, maybe you can or not, but you will be able to, I guess, in the fall. Because this is what so often what we forget that causes us to be kind of This is an interesting part of it too. The reality is, really, who has like the perfect job without pressure, without feeling like it sure would be nice if I could be somewhere else? Who? Nobody. Answer is nobody. You even watch these documentaries on royalty. All they do seem to do is just bellyache about being the king or the queen. Oh, it's so hard. It's so difficult. Okay, well, maybe it is. I can't relate to that. But they are called there too. I don't mean by the divine right of kings. I mean sovereignly, they have been called there. No different. Their calling is no grander than that of the peasant in the kingdom. That's something that we fail together. And that is the problem with the divine right of kings. It's the divine right of all of us. We're placed there because that's where God has placed us. And we can then thrive in that environment. Jimmy, it looks like you're dying to say something.
No, I'm not dying to say anything.
Oh, yes, you are. And then what's going to happen is we're going to finish and you're going to go, you know, I was reading what John Calvin said.
Well, no.
Then you're going to be too late.
I've got a long illustration that I'd like to share, but it's too long to share.
Tighten it up, man. Cliff's notes, go.
No. The only thing that I would say here, though, is just to reiterate and piggyback on what you're saying. And Colossians says, whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord and not for men.
Yeah.
So that means the Christian should be the best worker in the building.
Yep. Okay, I said Ephesians, it's Colossians. You're correct.
Oh, yeah. But we should be the best worker in the building because we serve a different master, and our master deserves our best.
Yeah, And even when the boss isn't looking, why? Right. Because the Lord is looking. This just transcends our common horizontal view of everything. Look up. You're not participating in the rat race. You are sovereignly ordained by God. You are called to the position you are because He has work for you to do. And don't let the world tell you it's meaningless, trivial, or trite. It has value. It has meaning. Why? Because it is assigned to us by the Lord. And if you can remember that truism in whatever realm of life you might be struggling in or feeling unfulfilled about, whether it's body, whether it's finance, why don't you have more money? Because God has called you to this and He has a plan for it. And that transcends our worldly woes and gives life, I'm going to use the word, even though it's trademarked, purpose. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.